This is the final part of a three-part series featuring Warner Braun, the president of the Carpet and Rug Institute. Warner, we were talking about adding a greasy element to the designer soil that's used in the seal of approval testing protocol.
For deep cleaning systems.
Right.
And that's basically what they go after, I suspect. Don't they vacuum before you?
I mean, the deep cleaning system is generally made up of three things: a vacuum cleaner of their selection, either a pre-spray or an in-tank chemical again of their selection, and then whatever extractor they want to use, be that a box and wand, a ride behind, truck mount, whatever.
Okay. What's the timeline, and do you have any feel for that?
Well, I know they're just in the process of putting the task groups together. I would say, probably optimistically by the end of the year, but it could run over into next year.
Just out of curiosity, I know there's been a lot of conversation about the soil, but really, designer soil. That's got to be quite a task coming up with the greasy element. Well, where do you even start?
Well, you start first by recognizing that you have two totally different oily component possibilities. One is an inorganic oil, and the other is an organic oil. And so you start with that premise, and then you got to say, okay, well, in a typical soil, if there is such a thing, how much cooking oil do you have in the house versus WD-40 in a house? Yeah. And so there's a lot of judgment that's going into this. And by the way, I failed to mention this, but I think this is one of the critical things of what we're doing. We have reached out through the IICRC to the cleaning professionals and have asked them to be part of both of these two task groups. Because if we're going to be collaborative, then we got to be collaborative from the get-go. And so we've reached out through IICRC to get top-notch cleaning professionals be part of these.
Everybody who has some skin in the game get involved in the project.
Well, I mean, there's some limits. You don't want the task group to be 25 people.
Well, groups, I guess.
But we're reaching out to the various stakeholder groups.
Very, very good. Good idea. So it sounds like a great idea. I know there's been conversation about that for some time, so it's good.
Well, and as I have... Howard Helder's probably getting tired of me quoting him, but one of the first projects we worked on after I came here was seal of approval, and it seemed like at every juncture we'd get into a huge debate about is it supposed to be X or is it supposed to be Y or is it supposed to be Z, and Howard, who was on the technical issues committee at that time, he said, hey guys, let's not let perfect get in the way of progress. And so we have known, from the get-go that our program wasn't perfect. But, we have been open to suggestions on how to improve it. I mean, we could go back and look at a half a dozen times over the last 12 years that we've made, changes to the program that make the program stronger. But where did those suggestions come from? They always came from the cleaning community. So these two most recent ones, we've heard about them before. But sometimes it also takes somebody coming up with a fresh idea on how to tackle the problem.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a good. I mean, let's go back again to the interim cleaning system. One of the other things we've heard is that there is a small walk behind unit that gets a platinum rating in our deep cleaning system. And the professional cleaning community is all up in arms about this. And I can, if I were in their place, I could understand why. Because this machine does a really good job of getting out the soil that is covered by its head. But if you talk to the manufacturer of that equipment is not intended to do commercial carpet cleaning because the heads, is narrow. And so they've even indicated that they think their product should be used for interim cleaning, be that in traffic lanes, soiled areas, whatever. But that, again, is another thorn in the side of the cleaning community. So one of the things as part of this interim cleaning thing that we're going to be looking at is the concept of productivity. So to be a deep cleaning system, and I'm thinking that this is going to have to be addressed as part of the development of the interim system. You know, if something is, you know, let's pick a number, 100 square feet an hour, to be ridiculous. If something is less than that, can it be a commercial deep cleaning system, or is it an interim system? So that, again, but that was the concept there was, you know, we finally figured out that we might be able to address two problems at the same time. The fact that this is in this category of deep cleaning systems, which generally is commercial, but even the manufacturer thinks it ought to be in a different category like interim cleaning. So, you know, sometimes you know you have a problem, but it takes somebody to have a, you know, a brainchild so that you can say, okay, hey, wait a minute. We now know how we can improve this. Yeah. So that's just one example.
Is measuring how much greasy soil is removed going to be a major hurdle?
No. What the major hurdle will be, David, is that it's going to significantly impact the performance of deep cleaning systems. You know, the machines that are on the area in the platinum level probably won't be affected very much, but as you go into the gold, it'll be affected more. As you go into silver, it'll be affected even more. And if you're bronze today, it's going to have a dramatic impact on your ability to maintain 55% soil removal. I mean, it's going to cause those levels of performance to stretch significantly. Based on, you know, we've done a lot of research in this area already, so we know what's going to happen.
Could it potentially change everything dramatically? I mean, something that's good at removing dry soil may not be as effective.
Well, you have to remember that to be a platinum level, you have to have a superior vacuum cleaner, and you have to have a superior, in most cases, pre-spray, and a superior extractor. Now, let's look at the pre-spray, for example. The pre-spray is going to be even more important in the new protocol, because it's the only way that you're going to be able to mobilize the oily component in the new designer soil. So if you have a superior pre-spray, you aren't going to be affected by that very much. But let's say that you're a guy that is using an in-tank chemical, for example, and maybe not the best one of those. Now, all of a sudden, your performance is going to drop off substantially if you're not able to mobilize with your pre-spray or with your in-tank chemical that oily component. Because the oily component also has the feature of trying to glom on to the other soils, which would have traditionally just been removed by vacuuming.
Of course, I have to imagine that all of these players, whether they're seal of approval or not, they go out and clean greasy dirt every day, so
absolutely.
They probably have a clue as to how effective they are.
You know, let's go back and look at the Jetstream grill.
Yeah.
You think that there wasn't any oil in that on that carpet?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, it's interesting, and it's an interesting change in the whole seal of approval program.
Well, you know, I mean, life is about change.
There you go.
We're excited about this.
Let me just quickly ask you for an update on the CARE program and AB 2398 in California.
Okay. Well, you know, I would say that I was going to use the word that things have gone flawlessly, but that might be a slight over-exaggeration, but they've gone, you know, better than we could have ever hoped for. You know, we see, you know, a few little glitches here and there. For the first time, we've had some nils by the definition of AB 2398 that failed to report on time. And so we've actually sent out some non-compliance letters, which, you know, you hate to do, but, you know, the law is the law, and they need to know that if they don't comply, the state of California can go after them with hefty fines. So we're hoping that doing it this one time will, you know, get us to a point where we don't have to ever do that again, because that's unpleasant. But, you know, I mean, we're excited. We've had some new companies come to us with some innovative new ideas that could substantially increase our amount of diversion and recycle in the state of California. I probably should not talk about what those are because, you know, they are still in the process of filing their patents and everything. But, you know, from what I've seen, the data I've seen, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And at one time, you know, I was praying that the state of California wouldn't eventually try to force us to fit the number like 50%. You know, some of these applications that we've learned about in the last several weeks come to fruition. You know, I think people will be amazed how far we will go in the next couple of years.
Very good. Now, in terms of retailers, contractors, are they all, you know, performing this up to, you know, the original goals here?
I would say to the 99th percentile, you know, people are on board with complying with the law. There's one or two examples here or there where, you know, somebody isn't in complete compliance with the law. In most cases, it's because they don't completely understand what their obligation is. But those examples are the exception, not the rule.
Well, that's surprising to me. I thought that would be where you'd have, you know, a sizable group of people that you have crack the whip over.
I think the reason is that there is a huge imperative dangling over their heads, which is called, you know, fines from Cal Recycle.
I hear you. Well, Warner, I'm ready for my tour now.
Okay.
And I appreciate the conversation, and I'm anxious to see the rest of the building.
Well, let's go do it.
Okay.
We've been talking with Warner Braun, the president of the CRI, and this is Float Radio.